uncontested King of all creation. You spoke the mighty earth in place and gave it all to men for His dominion. The wonders of the highest highs, the mysteries that fill the deepest oceans. Oh, what is man of mortal breath that You would lavish him with such a kingdom? So
Street. Okay, does anybody know what Sole Deo Gloria means? No, it's Latin for to God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. And what a great thought to start our morning. We have a wonderful opportunity to hear from our youth as they, back last night about 5:05, the vans rolled back into our church parking lot. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from them this morning. And you know, God is good, isn't He? So if you'll take your bulletin, we have a whole bunch of announcements, and we need some participation from you as well. So first of all, today, following the morning service, there is a baby shower for the Powells, and so make sure those who are participating there, don't forget about that. This Saturday, we have a car wash scheduled from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a $1 car wash. And the goal for the $1 car wash is people come through, get their car washed. They expect to pay a dollar at the end. Instead, we pay them a dollar. And when we do so, they're always confused and wonder why. And then we tell them that Jesus Christ washes us clean from our sin. And when it came time to pay for that washing, He paid for it Himself. And so it's a great way to share the gospel. Right now, there are 8 people signed up. We need a minimum of 15 people, or we cannot do it, okay? So, if we don't have 15 people signed up, then we don't do it. So watch Facebook. I will make sure that I post tomorrow, whether or not we're able to do it. But if you can do it, please sign up. I can only go off of who signs up. So it's a great opportunity to witness. So if you can help with that from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. next Saturday, then please sign up for that. We have a outdoor baptism on August 12th, and I've had several people talk to me about being baptized. If you've never been baptized and you would like to obey the Lord in believer's baptism, then please talk to me. And if you're planning on attending, we need to know how much food to have prepared, okay? So you're all invited to come. It'll be a great service. We'll have some time of singing, some testimonies, and then also the baptisms. And it's going to be a really great service. It will be at Ralph Balcoma's house. Ralph, wave your hands, everybody. So right now the road is closed to get to his house. So pray that it's dry that week so we can get through to his house. But it's going to be a great night. He's got a lot of space. And we do need to know how many people to prepare food for. So you can bring a side dish to pass to go with burgers and hot dogs. So whatever you think goes well with burgers and hot dogs, bring a dish to pass. Also, there is some more showers coming up for baby showers, wedding showers. Make sure you read your bulletin for all of those. Deacons, reminder, you have a deacon meeting this Wednesday. And next Sunday following the morning service, there will be a brief business meeting. So make sure you have all that on your calendars. And two announcements that are not in your bulletins. Next Sunday, our outreach committee that's working with Galilee Baptist Church, we're doing a combined outreach. The outreach, we have the date for that, is September 22nd. And we have Bronson Park reserved. Our two churches are meeting together in Bronson Park. We are throwing a carnival with bounce houses, and we're going to do face painting and balloons. We will serve food. And while we're doing all that, our choirs will combine to sing together. That'll be a neat, neat time. And then Pastor Scott, the pastor over at Galilee Baptist Church, and myself, we will tag team to present a 15 to 20 minute total message. All right? You're like two preachers, 15 to 20 total minutes. Just show up just to see that. But here's why you should come out. Our goal for this is to show, because Galilee Baptist Church is a predominantly black church, and we are a predominantly white church, and to show that there is in Jesus Christ no difference in race, and that Jesus Christ brings us together. And it's an awesome opportunity for us to make a bold statement to the community. We hear so much about race tension, and so much is discussed about race relations. And you know what? We're doing something, because unity will be found in Jesus Christ. When I submit to Jesus, and when anybody else, no matter what ethnicity or race, submits to Jesus, we are bound together by Jesus. And so we can make a powerful statement. And so I would encourage all of you to set aside on your calendars September 22nd from noon to 3 right now is the preliminary. Next Sunday, we are hosting their committee to come meet with our committee to discuss and finalize our plans for the 22nd of September. So we need some people to help just serve food. The food, people preparing the food, is already taken care of. But we need people to help just serve food to the two committees so the committees don't have to worry about working on the food. They can just work on making the plans. And so if you'd like to help serve that day, contact the church office and let either Cheryl or Lynn know so that we can we make sure. The more servers, the better. Because when we went over there last Sunday, we got first-class treatment, okay? First-class treatment. We want to return the favor, okay? We want to show them the 12th Street Baptist Church hospitality. I have a quick little video for you to watch and then an announcement to follow that up.
How important is children's ministry? Well, more than half of people who will ever believe in Christ will do so by the age of 12. And by the time a child is 9, their basic moral foundation has already been formed. By age 13, a person has formed their first basic beliefs about the nature of God, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of an afterlife, and the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. Through children's ministry, we have a chance to engage the hearts of these children when they are most open to the gospel. We are able to step into their lives through all the gifts like teaching, serving, administration, and evangelism. You could get a chance to share the gospel with a child for the first time in his or her life, or help them form their first thoughts of who God is. Please know, we don't want this to be an obligation. We want this to be a pleasure. We want you to volunteer because you want to help your church raise its children as you raise your own. By helping us in children's ministry in any capacity, you help them see that Jesus is real.
So, to follow that up, we are looking for more participation. Coming off of VBS a week ago, there should be some excitement about working in children's ministry. And so for children's church and for Sunday school, we're looking for some more people to join in and serve. So go ahead and put the sign-up sheet. We have a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, and it looks just like this. And right now, Michelle Roberts has September and October she signed up for. Brooke Camp has signed up for November. We're looking for somebody to sign up for December to be the main teacher. Okay, you can see January signed up for. February through June, we need people to sign up for next year in 2019. And so, if you would like to do this, the sign-up sheet is at the Welcome Center. If you don't sign up, I will probably approach you, okay? So, and save yourself the embarrassment and volunteer. There's greater blessing in it. Then also, we need some helpers. We have helper one, helper two, and helper three. And then by helper three on the sign-up sheet, we put a place there for teenagers, okay? We can have teens sign up and take a month to help because I believe it's a great training ground to help serve in junior church. So go to the Welcome Center and sign up. We need some more help with serving in our children's church ministry. We also need help in Sunday school. And so in Sunday school, we have third through fifth grade. I don't know what I did there. Ellen Mack teaches kindergarten through second grade. She would like to rotate with two other people. So if you would like to help rotate with Ellen Mack for kindergarten through second grade, or have someone that she can call on to help her if she's going to be gone, then sign up and you can work out that rotation. Tammy Berry does the third through fifth graders. She would like to have some help there as well. And so if you could help out for the Sunday school, please sign up for that. And if you sign up, that's great. You will be blessed. If I have to approach you, it'll still be great, but you won't be as blessed. Let's go back one more slide. There we go. The pre-K church time. Right now, Brandy Roberts and Rachel Sage, they take care of all of that time. I think Amanda Headley helps in there from time to time. We are looking for some people to partner with them as well. And so that sign-up sheet will be at the Welcome Center as well. It was still printing when I forgot to get it out of the printer. So it will be up there, but make sure you sign up to help with that. Again, these are great opportunities for you to serve here at 12th Street Baptist Church. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that you are the only God who is worthy of all the glory. It just simply means, Lord, that the adoration, the praise, the thanksgiving we have in life, it's because you gave us life, you give us breath. Every day you hold all of the atoms together that hold together our bodies. The systems of this universe are all held together by your mighty hand. And Lord, this morning you're looking at each one of us saying, I love each one of you. I want to have a relationship with each one of you. And I thank you that we have young people in our church that were able to go and share that same message with a community in Wheelwright, Kentucky. I thank you, Lord, that you took them there and brought them back safely. And Lord, as we hear about what they were able to do, I pray, Lord, that you would receive all the glory, because all the work that was done there is because you're a great God who wants to use us to proclaim your goodness. And Lord, as we sing this morning, as we give, as we enjoy in fellowship, Lord, we truly do desire to see you made great. I pray that your Spirit would come and visit us in a special way, that as the youth share, as Nate shares, as We open your word, as we sing these songs, that, Lord, in everything, that we would truly sense and know that you are with us and you care about us individually and you care about us corporately as a body. So, Lord, to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite the youth to come on up here. And Nate's going to lead out the discussion.
All right, good morning. I want to give a little bit overview about the city of Wheelwright. In the early 1900s, there was a coal mine that opened up there, and that basically began the city. The city built homes in Wheelwright. It's about 2.5 miles off of the main stretch, so there's one way in and one way out. And from where it begins, that leads you up one main street, and that was where all the housing was. And the houses are like on the street. You've got the street, a sidewalk, and a house. So it's very narrow. We're down in a holler, kind of down in a little valley. The sun doesn't hit it till about 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's down about 9 o'clock at night. So that was kind of the city there. The mine closed in the 70s, and that was kind of the beginning of the downfall of Wheelwright. It was a really booming town back in its day. But once the coal mine left, that took away a lot of jobs. There's also a prison located right there in Wheelwright, and that provided about 170 jobs to the community, but that closed in 2012, so that eliminated quite a few more jobs. So there isn't a whole lot for people to do there, and most of the people there don't have vehicles, so they rely on the government for their living. And the families have become very broken, very dependent on drugs. Most of the families there have parents that are incarcerated, dead, or addicted. So the ministry that they're trying to begin there is extremely important. The people there desperately need help. So it was really cool to be able to go in and meet some of those community members and just bring the love of Christ there. They really needed it.
Hey. To start, we were working. We took 11 guys, I think it was, to work construction at a house in the bathroom for a family, and their names were Ruby and Paul. And it was tight space, so we ended up splitting into two groups. And so 5 left to a new job, while 6 stayed. And being a part of the group who stayed, I'd say as a group, we grew as a team and worked hard until the last 2 days when my dad took over, basically, with Bill. And so while they finished up, we basically just talked to Phil or Paul and Ruby and grew with them as well. And one of the biggest blessings had to be growing with my team through working for God and definitely playing blacktop basketball with some of the kids there. And I learned a lot, and I give every bit of glory to God.
Hello, I'm Bryce. I was part of the construction crew that we had there also, but I was one of the 6 people that left to go to another work site, and we decided to go roofing for this guy named Joe. It's really cool. The day that we went roofing, it was the hottest day of the week. It was awful. We just stood up on a metal roof, taking out nails and screws for this guy. He was so grateful. He's such an amazing guy. I was able to talk to him a little bit about God throughout the week or the rest of the few days, and our group decided to grow closer to God through him too.
God opened so many doors this week for us that it just amazed each and every one of us. Why we're amazed that God can open these doors, even, you know, in big ways and little ways, is beyond us, but we still have human minds and we're still blown away by all the miracles that God does. Nate challenged us last Sunday morning before we left that it's not about us, it's all about him. So each day as we went through whatever our project was, worship, whatever we were doing to make sure that we were giving God the glory. It wasn't about what we wanted, what we needed. It was all about ministering to those that were there. It was a fantastic week with our teens. Our teens had so many compliments this week on their servants' hearts and what hard workers they are. The other leaders from other groups were just amazed with our youth group. So kudos to the parents and for raising good kids who are willing to serve and to work hard. I was part of the community group. I did many, many projects. I started in organizing an attic. I went to the kitchen. I baked banana bread that we use for the bread ministry, painted some of the building, cleaned up around the building, picked up trash, mowed a yard for a couple hours. But my favorite part of the week was getting to go out and hand out flyers and visit with the people who opened their doors and were willing to talk with us and handing out bread to them and just blessing them and telling them that we were praying for them. We prayed for an older lady who was all by herself. She doesn't go out very much for church anymore because she doesn't like to drive down the mountain, but we took time and we prayed with her. And the people in this community, no matter their difficulties or their drug addictions, I don't think I met anybody who was not welcoming and thankful to have us there.
So hi, I'm Kayla, if you don't know me. I was also on the community team. There was kind of two parts to it. There was a lot of physical work, and then there was like a more social aspect. We can go and knock on doors, hand out banana bread, that type of thing. So God laid it on my heart to do a lot of the physical stuff. So I painted pretty much every day with Eli and Ari and some kids from North Carolina. And we painted a whole side of the church building that we were staying at. We stained a fence. We did a lot of yard work around the church. I think my favorite part wasn't even the physical work. It was Thursday night at a pool party, and Ari and I were sitting there talking, and Miss Kyla told us, hey, go out and talk to some people in the community. That's what we're here to do. So we said, okay. So we went down into the pool, and I see three girls sitting over on the side by themselves, not talking to anybody. They lived in the town, and they were just lonely. So I nudged Ari, and I'm like, hey, let's go talk to those girls. So we went over, and we struck up a conversation, and we made friends with them. And there's a girl our age named Hannah. And she struggled a lot with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. And she was there at the pool that night to not go home and kill herself. So I think it's a total God thing that she was there, because Ari and I witnessed to her and told her about how we came to know Jesus. And we told her, you know, that Jesus brings us peace and happiness. You don't have to live in anxiety and depression and try to figure it out yourself. So she didn't accept Christ, but we still planted that seed, and that's what we were there to do. So God just opened doors for us, and it was a really good witnessing opportunity.
I got the opportunity to be in community. We went door to door, knocking, talking to people, and praying. And Tuesday and Friday, I got to go to this man's house. His name was Larry. His wife died 2 months ago, and he was a happy man. He was always joking and laughing with us, and he was open to talking. He told us to always laugh and joke around, even though there are obstacles in life. Larry is one person I will never forget.
Amen. Couple of things. Don't ever take advantage of being able to see the sunset or the sunrise. Because when you're in the valley, you don't see the sunset and you don't see the sunrise. You see the effects of the sun about 9 o'clock. And then at about 6 o'clock, the sun goes down because you're in the valley and it just gets dark. It just starts getting dark. So my eyes are open. I said, God, just whatever you want me to see, let me see. Let me see with eyes that you see. They have nothing, but they know Jesus, and they have everything. Our youth had no phone service, thought the world had come to an end. And guess what? We had no connection with the outside world other than the adults had a password. But they were able to step out of their comfort zone so far, and it says, somebody quoted one day, step out of your comfort zone so far that you lose track on how to get back. Because when you're living on the outside and you're living out of that comfort zone, God can utilize you, and you have to totally rely on God. We have stories. We're allotted a few minutes up here. We have stories. If you want to talk for days, we have stories. You want to know more about Larry, talk to her. You want to know more about Amy, talk to me. You want to know more about the people in the neighborhood, I'll tell you stories. I'll tell you what's going on. Great stories. And everybody, it was hard to witness to someone that didn't know who Christ was. There were people there that were lost, but it was hard to find someone that didn't have Jesus in their heart. We were opened to what the community brought us. So Nate says, it's not about us, and it is not. And Pastor, it is not about us. It is not about anything that we do. We're filthy rags. I mean, we're just, God doesn't want you to be pumped up and promoted. He wants his honor and glory to be promoted, his gospel to be proclaimed, his works to be taught. But I'm watching these youth, and I'm watching all of them. There was about 55, 60 of us down there working together, holding ladders in the hot sun, 90-degree days, holding ladders for somebody to paint, you know, 25 feet in the air. And somebody with paint all over their forehead like this, dripping paint off her forehead, continued to wipe the hair out of her eyes and had no idea she was painting her forehead at the same time she was pulling the hair out of her eyes. But you know what? She was there in the 85-degree day, and she was painting for Christ. She was making a beautiful, you know, she was doing a beautiful job for God. Praying with one another, stopping and praying with one another in our prayer groups after our youth group, sitting down and praying and hugging and loving on people. You know I'm all about that. I'm a touchy-feely type of person. And I want to promote Christ through what love he has given me. Playing games with the kids, singing songs to your horse, till you have no more voice. Praising God to the last second with every breath I have. You literally did that. When she got that guitar out, it was awesome. Those kids were like, wow, we have a famous person here. The other thing is, thank you for the opportunity you give me to be a youth leader. I don't know where my life would be if it wasn't around teens. That's my cup of tea, and that's what God has given me. 52 years old this week. I wouldn't want to change anything that I've done. I'd want to continue to promote the gospel and promote the unity that we have and go and make a difference for Christ. Now, my last part. I'm driving down the road, and I hear some songs being sung in the back of the van. And it's singing songs in praise to God. You know what? That's the kids. That's my kids singing in the back. Going up the mountain, going down the mountain, praising God. And this is their free time. So I say thank you for that. It wasn't about us. Excuse me. They were shining his light to draw people in, and God was watching, and so was others. So how can I promote and help you guys? You guys, the church is going to be in trouble in about 30 years. Not maybe this church, but churches are going to be in trouble. Churches are in trouble now. They're struggling. You know why they're struggling? Because we don't have people sitting on the pews that are consistent, day in and day out. God doesn't say live on the mountaintop, where there was a golf course up in the day in the 1930s where they played golf and look at me playing golf on top of the mountain. And it wasn't about living in the valley and being depressed and being complaining all the time about what God didn't do for you. It's being consistent day in and day out and moving forward and continuing to be looking forward, never looking back. You guys need to take the challenge and be consistent. That town run out of energy. That big corporation moved out. All that money moved out of that town. All they had was Jesus. And that's all they do is continue to say, Lord, you're going to provide. You're going to provide. They're going to be consistent. Please be consistent at 12th Street. We got notes up on the boards that we need teachers. We need you in the lives of these teenagers so we can go out of this neighborhood and make a difference for Christ. And I said, as long as I have breath to breathe, I want to praise God. Sorry, Nate.
You're going to make me cry, Mr. May. Well, this week I was working in children's ministry, and God pulled me out of my comfort zone and putting me in a type of leadership position. So when we got there to Big Creek, we had our first meeting as a children's ministry, like all the youth, all the adults. And I remember Ryan, he was basically the leader of like all the different groups. He said, there's not really a set schedule, you guys. I want you guys, the youth, to try and lead it. And I was just terrified because I'm a follower. If you tell me to do something, I will do it, and with 100% of effort. And so I felt God tugging on my heart to try and lead, you know, because the first few days it was a little chaotic. And so at first I said, no, that's not my place. But then I tried to step up. So I led music, not just in children's ministry, but also a little bit just at the church with Big Creek. I took on a lesson on Thursday, taught the kids about Moses. I helped plan a little girl's birthday. Her name was Malaysia, and she was just the sweetest thing. And, of course, I didn't do any of these things alone. Miss Andrea and another leader named Lena were always there to help me whenever things went wrong or I wasn't sure what to do. And obviously God to all the glory, because without him I wouldn't have had the courage to step up and try to make the best out of that.
This week we were able to give away 62 pairs of shoes this past Thursday, and it was such a humbling experience to see all the joy and excitement on the little kids' faces when they found a pair in their size. Their faces spoke louder than 1,000 words. Their gratitude that they showed really showed me and made me realize just how grateful I should be at home and for the things around me. I thank you for all the donations of shoes. Even though all of you weren't able to go, you're still able to make a big difference in those kids' life.
You can hang on to that. Now it's my turn. As Ray would say, we're going to be here a while. No, I just want to share with you guys about our trip. You got to hear some of the teens and the leaders, how they were involved in the construction community and children. And when we got down there, we didn't know what to expect. This is the first time that this church has gone to a place that far away from home. And it was a new environment for us. We were in the holler of one of the hollers in the Appalachian Mountains. And we had no idea when we were going around curves and road was falling in, and I'm pulling this trailer thinking, if that tire falls off that edge, that trailer's going to go right down the hill there. But we were there with a church from North Carolina and a church from Pennsylvania. And it was amazing to see how God allowed people from North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Michigan to come together and to serve him. I did challenge the teens this week about, it's not about you, it's about him. And I got that because we were at home with my family, and I wanted to stress that with my family. And after I said it, it just was like, let's just do this with our whole church family this week. And just keep being reminded that it's not about us, because we're going to go down there and we're going to face things that are going to be difficult. We're going to be faced with uncomfortableness, and we're going to be faced with things that we might not want to do. But if we did it for ourselves, we're not going to want to do it. But if we did it for God and we're going to give God the glory, then all those doors are going to open, and a lot of doors opened. I did have the opportunity to work in the construction, and that was not my first pick. I picked community along with Kyla, but they told us what we were going to do in construction. And Ray's a man that sweats. He can sweat in 66 degrees. He could sweat in 30 degrees, and you can see him sweating. And when they said that they were going to tear up a bathroom and be in this little area, the beads got faster on his forehead. So I looked at Ray and I said, I will switch with you. I will work in construction if you want to take on community. And he's like, thank you. And so I was able to do the construction, and we did. We got in there, and we remodeled a bathroom for them. We got in there, and it was instantly mold everywhere. The bathtub, I don't know how, was still sitting there where it was. The floor was rotted. But we went in there, and through God, we were able to worship with Paul and Ruby and talk with them and share God with them. They are old Baptist religion or regular Baptist. Old Regular Baptist. And so we got to learn a little bit about what Old Regular Baptist was versus today's Baptist. And so we got to share with them. The boys did an amazing job with just, I had to push them out a little bit and say, we need to get this done. So you guys go talk while I continue to work. But I was able to pull one in. Phil, he's in the back. He has never been in our youth group. He's just a family member of a member of our youth group. And he came, and I could tell right away he was out of his comfort zone just being there with our group. But I snagged him a little bit, and he worked alongside me a lot. And we experienced broken water lines, broken sewer water lines. We got wet. I just kept telling Phil, it's clean water, don't worry. But the water did not smell clean, so I couldn't get that by him. But he was able to help me out a lot, and with teaching him how to plumb, and we even changed some recepts that were melted in the bathroom. They were literally melting, and we changed one recept, and she was blessed beyond measure because that recept has never worked. It hasn't worked in a long time because it caught fire, and I just went down to the hardware store and said, nope, I'm going to go buy you some GFI recepts, and we're going to fix that for you. And we got it working and working correctly. And she's like, well, I got all this other stuff. I'm like, well, that's not why we're here. But we were blessed. Paul and Ruby have been married for 44 years, and they raised their grandkids. And got to know them a lot. And I was blessed to be able to talk with them. And I told them, I said, you guys are an example of what a married couple should be. You guys have been together for 44 years. You've taken on challenges, and you've overcome them. And I said, I wish other families can see you how I see you. And it was a blessing. I also got to do some preaching for a day. So I got to be in a little bit of my element. And I only had 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And that's not me. I can't do things in a small amount of time. But I got to preach on Colossians, and we were in Colossians the whole week, and it just fit what we were all about that week, and how Paul was challenging in Colossians. And I preached on Colossians 3, 1 through 11, and I titled this message, if Paul was Southern, he would have said, y'all Christian, act like it. And I just want to read Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. And I just thought that whole message from verse 1 through 11 was fitting. When we got saved and we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we put off our old body and we put on our new body. And Paul's saying, why would you ever want to go back to that old body when you have your new body? God's going to judge that old body. He's going to come back and he's going to judge that. So why would we ever put it on? And I gave the analogy of a sports analogy to the boys especially. When you're wearing that football shirt, and if you're like, if they were like me, I wore the same shirt every game, never washed it. You know, it was one of those things that you just do. I never washed it. But when I took that off and put on a clean shirt, I never would want to put that dirty shirt back on. At the end of the year, it got cut off me, or they took it off me because I busted my leg. And I told them, I said, I think when they put it on the ground, it started to walk away. That's how dirty and smelly it was. But that's our old life. It is dirty. It's smelly. It's disgusting. Why would we ever, when we accept Christ, want to live that old life? And I just challenge them this week to pursue the things above. Pursue the things of Christ, and you're going to see doors open and the challenges that they're going to face, and they're going to get to those challenges, and they're going to accomplish those challenges that they're going to face while they're pursuing Christ. So all in all, this group did an amazing job. They've got so many compliments from the other leaders that were there, other students that were there. They worked hard. Very minimal complaining, and they did an amazing job. So all the kids that are in the back, like Nate, who we probably can't see, I want you guys to come up here with the kids that spoke, and we're going to sing a song that is a song that was a tradition, or is a tradition, for Big Creek down in Wheelwright. And I want you guys to be able to share that experience as well. If you know the song, you can go, you can sing with us.
Jesus, all Could we have the ushers come forward at this time?
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the many blessings that we just heard. Father, that you were able to use our teens and they were able to go and to minister into a place that just needed some tender love and care. And Father, that they weren't even originally planning on being down there, but we know that your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord, and we just know that you put them where you wanted them to be, and that everything was done for your glory. Father, we just ask now that you'll just be with us as we take up the offering. We ask that you'll just be with each gift and each giver, and just be with us through the remainder of the service, and we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the power. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to let you remain seated while they're taking up the offering. We're going to start singing, "This is Amazing Grace."
Amazing grace. His unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We welcome you now as we listen to your word, Lord. I pray that it would have just a deep impact in our hearts and that we respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians 2, and I promise you, I will not be long this morning. 1 Thessalonians 2. There is a preacher, he was walking down the street, and he saw a young boy reaching up for a doorbell. And the boy just couldn't quite reach the doorbell. And so the pastor walked over and said, "Can I help you?" And the little boy said, "Yes, I can't reach this doorbell." And so the pastor said, "Okay," and he pushed the doorbell. The pastor looked at him and said, "Now what are you going to do?" And the boy said, "Run!" 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, our singing, the choir song this morning, all of our singing this morning. What the youth shared, it's all about the glory of God, right? They went to Wheelwright, Kentucky, having no idea about what completely would take place. They didn't know the details. They just knew they would go work with a children's ministry, community, or construction. And they just went down and said, "God, whatever you want. 12th Street, here's our goal. For all of our young people, all of the programming that we do, our goal is to produce people who glorify God. That's it. If we produce young people who glorify God, turn into adults who glorify God, and in turn raise their own children who glorify God, we have been successful in our calling." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read through it real quickly here, and we're just going to concentrate on the last couple verses. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this: "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance to you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated by those, as you know, who are at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tries our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. We didn't seek glory from men, neither from you, nor of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor, our travail, laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, when you heard of it from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What is our hope, our joy, crown of rejoicing? Are not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. In verses 1 through 3, it tells us that Paul's motivation was to help them. That was his goal. He wanted to help them. In verse 4, that he was worthy of the trust that God put in him to speak the gospel. That's an awesome thought. You know what? Our young people, when they went down to Kentucky, they were worthy to present the gospel. Why? Because they had committed to say, we will share what God wants us to share. In verse 7, he says that we were gentle like a nurse to you. We were trying to help heal your spiritual needs. In verses 5 and 6, they didn't seek gain or glory. Verses 8 through 10, he says, we are above reproach in our dealings with you. It's really neat, especially with a trip like our young people took to Kentucky. They went down and they gave everything. They didn't take anything. That's when really great ministry can take place. And Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica, when we went to you before you knew Christ, we didn't ask for anything. In fact, we would work all night on tent making, so that during the day, we could focus on sharing Christ. In verse 11, he gave them fatherly advice, he gave them correction, and he cared for them. In verse 19, we see his goal for working with them. And his goal was God's glory in them at the coming of Christ. And really, the rest of the book of Thessalonians, he'll talk more and more about that goal. And isn't that the goal? Why we evangelize, that's the goal, why we raise our children, so that when Christ returns, when Christ comes back, when he gathers together his children, our children will be part of that gathering, and they will be glory to him. In verse 13, they received God's word as a powerful transforming truth. Verses 14 through 16, they had enemies. We have enemies, right? Who were their enemies? Well, their enemies was they had a religious system, the same religious system that killed Jesus. It was against them. And then they had suffering that was caused by anti-Christian political system. And boy, you see, there are some political systems out there that are anti-Christian, even in our world today. But in Paul's world, he had gone from prison to freedom, ran to Thessalonica to escape prison. And when he got there, he was attacked. Attacked by the political system from Rome and the religious system of the Jewish religion. But in all of that, his goal was to see the glory of God in the people that he ministered to. So let me give you this thought. A game changer produces other game changers. That's what a game changer will do. This is what chapter 2 is all about. Paul talks about how he went to Thessalonica, not just to feel good about what he was able to do, but he went to them so that he could bring a message that transformed them and brought them to Christ so they could be part of the kingdom and part of the glory. And that's what we desire. We want to see people come to Christ so they can be part of his kingdom and part of his glory. Okay, what is the glory of God? All right, every single one of the young people up here, okay, the ones that shared and then the ones who didn't get to share, talk to them and they'll talk to you about what God did, and there is the glory of God. It's when we can look back and say, God did this. Okay, I remember, what, 3.5 weeks ago, Nate messages me and says, they canceled Life Changers. And it was like, okay, let's find something. Because you know, whether it was in Detroit or whether it was in Wheelwright, Kentucky, or if it was at Vacation Bible School the week before they went on their missions trip, or this next week as they just go back into their regular life, the goal is to present the gospel in a transforming and powerful way so that people are able to be to the glory of God at his coming. Look at verse 20 again. In verse 19, he says, what is our hope? What is the crown of our rejoicing? Verse 20, he answers that, you are our glory and joy. As a parent, I look at the accomplishments that I have, and it's like, eh. But when I watch my children accomplish something, it's like, wow. Okay, I never get a tear in my eye about, you know, well, maybe when I hear myself sing, you know, I might bring a tear, but a different way. But you know what brings a tear to my eye, a joy to my life? You know what brings glory to my soul? It's when I see that the transformative truths of the gospel that I try to instill into my kids, when I see it living itself out in them, that is the crown of my life. That is where I get the joy, because I understand that my children are not living for themselves, they are living for God. And there is nothing better in the world. And as a pastor, you know, and it's VBS was an awesome week. I mean, that was just, it was so great. You know, like, because we had about 70 volunteers from our church that were all unified, just one common goal. Get these people the message of Jesus. Whether it was crafts, leading the kids around, getting them to station, games, or teaching the lesson, or being the one who was able to pray with them after they heard the lesson. All of it was equally important, because every single person, if it was counting the money, there were probably some kids that came to VBS just so they could drop money in that bucket. And in all of it, the goal is to bring God the glory. So 12th Street, as we keep forging ahead, and we are game changers, we will change the game for good, or we will change the game for evil, but we will change the game. We have this awesome goal ahead of us, and it's the same that Paul had, that we find our joy and rejoicing in seeing those who we disciple bring glory to God through their life. Right now we have kids back in junior church, and they're learning truths about Jesus that will shape their life. And they will bring glory to God through what they learned this morning. And you know what's so cool about this? We all have an opportunity to be part of it. You can choose to be a part of this awesome ministry. You know, the Lord, he gave real simple thought before he left to his disciples. Right before he ascended back into heaven for the last time, he looked at his disciples and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's where a lot of times we just stop right there. You know what he said after that? Baptize them. Why? Because faith is the gift of God. It's nothing that we do. It's something that we receive. So he says, baptize them so they can do something to show that they have the faith and they can take a step of obedience to me. And then what's the third thing he says? Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded. Disciple them. The church at Thessalonica was following through with the great commission that Jesus gave. Paul shared the gospel with them. Do you know what? He was only there for about 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Think about this. In 3 weeks, he was chased out of town. They stormed. He was living in a literal castle. One of the people he led to the Lord was wealthy and had some means. And they stormed the castle and tried to arrest him. And he had to sneak out of town at night through a window. And in 3 weeks, these people received the truth of the gospel, started to live the truth of the gospel, and now, a few years later, he's writing to them, and they have made an impact where he can look at them and say, you are the crown of my life. I rejoice when I think about you because you are bringing the glory to God. That's what we live for. You know, and as a Christian, if you live for something else, other than bringing the glory to God, if you're going, well, I want people to serve me. That pastor, if he doesn't preach a good message, my goodness, it's not even worth my time going to church. If those people aren't kind to me, and if somebody doesn't make my day, I don't even know if it's worth being around those people. Most people go to church to see what they can get. Well, you know what I hope? I hope you get the glory of God while you're here. I hope you get the glory of God. But you know, I hope you learn that there's something so much better in the Christian life. What can I give? Because when we invest into other people, and they bring glory to God through their life, that is the greatest joy. Nate will be able to live for about 3 weeks on this high of, woo, I got to see these kids do this. Ray Berry, he might get a month out of it. And I'm sure Andrea and Kyla, the joy of being part of that. And you know what, 12th Street? We can keep this going and going and going. Because we as a church exist to bring glory to God and to raise up others that will bring glory to God. Let's pray here together. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you give us this great example in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 of what the church was all about. What Paul's ministry and going and serving and giving up his own life and his own self and ministering to the needs of others. It was all about the glory of God. And Lord, I pray that there's anyone right here in the service this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe, Lord, they've never really thought about the fact that they need to. Maybe they've never understood that of themselves and in their own goodness, that there's nothing that they can do to earn a spot with you in heaven, but that, Lord Jesus, you give to each one of us freely salvation, and you died on the cross for our sins. You were buried, and you rose again the third day, so that if we just put our faith and trust in what Jesus did for us, and we believe that you were able to pay the penalty, take the punishment for our sin, then, Lord, I believe that this morning, and I know from your word, that you will save any who will trust in you. You will give them eternal life. And, Lord, you will transform their life so that their life can bring glory to you. And I pray, Lord, if anyone here has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that this morning that they would just be honest with themselves. And, Lord, if they need to do that, I pray that as we sing this closing song, you'd give them the boldness and the courage to just come out and shake my hand and talk to me and tell me that they want to trust you. And Lord, this morning, they can know what it's like to have the glory of God in their life. And Lord, I pray for the Christian here this morning who has trusted you. There are probably several here this morning, Lord, who have not thought about what they can give, not thought about how they can invest into others so that they can see others bring glory to you. Maybe, Lord, they're just struggling to bring glory to you all in their own life. I pray, Lord, this morning you'd show them there's such a better way to live, that you've got so much more in store. And Lord, if anyone here is struggling with their walk with you, struggling in their faith with you, struggling in their service for you, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to settle things in their heart, that their motives would be right to bring glory to you, and then, Lord, they would find ways to do that in and of themselves, and then, Lord, to invest into others so that others may do it as well. You are a great God. Thank you for allowing us to be your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close out the service, if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing here. I'd love to talk to you about it. And as we sing the song, let's stand, let's sing it out to the Lord. Let's offer ourselves to Him. Since we are for forgiven so freely. And since you offer to us this awesome salvation that allows us to bring glory to you, I just ask, Lord, that each one of us would have a deep, sincere desire to do what you want us to do. I pray, Lord, we would live for something that's bigger than ourselves. I pray, Lord, we would live for the kingdom of God that is eternal. And as these lives are short, I thank you, Lord, that our eternity is forever. So, God, as we live for you, help us to remember that the work that we do, it is not something that will pass away. It is not something that will fade. It is something that can be forever etched into eternity's record. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And as we go from here, your majesty motivates us to bring you glory. So now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne, be all glory, honor, power, and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him.